All right, everybody, it is another Ludini Rock and Roll Circus Musicians Mastermind. We've got Joe Freeman, we've got Carrie J.K. on the line with us today, and we are going to be talking about moving fans, you know, just getting them on that cart, and how do we maneuver all this stuff? How do we get them to go where we want to go? How do we get them onto our list? How do we move them maybe into our Facebook groups from there? How does it look to get them to our stores, to our Spotify, to hit that PayPal button and give us some money? So this has to be a system, guys. This is not something that just automatically happens when you throw up a website or like, right, Carrie? You just put your music out, right? And you automatically, people just flock to it immediately, right? That just happens every day. No, it doesn't work that way. So Joe Freeman is our sort of expert in creating these funnels. And all a funnel is, you know, just getting people from, you know, out here in the big world and moving them in to the track that you want them on, be it your private Facebook group, your website, your email list. So Joe has, he's a kind of an expert on this. He's been doing something called ClickFunnels for a few years. And some of you guys out there know what ClickFunnels is. I talked to a musician last week after our show who says that he's been having great luck with ClickFunnels, but that's just one way of doing it. This isn't a ClickFunnels sales pitch, although, Joe, you are an affiliate, right, for ClickFunnels?
I am an affiliate and a certified partner.
So if you guys get interested in that, Joe can definitely hook you up. Carrie and I will be throwing out the questions as we go along, so, grilling him pretty hard. We're going to keep you honest. No, we're kidding. All right, guys. So welcome. We've got Carrie. We've got Joe. Hey, so Joe, what is your, kind of initial idea on this concept here of, you know, moving the folks into your to your stream?
Yeah. So one thing I do want to say is basically what I'll be talking about is when you use a listing service like Amazon, Etsy, Spotify, iTunes, all those different things where you're actually renting someone else's space. So you're using someone else's website, which they already most of the time have their own traffic to list your music or your products on in order to sell, versus a funnel, which a funnel is a website, but a funnel is a website where you have one page with only one option of something to do. They do that, and then they're offered something next. So you control the environment the whole way through. Okay? So it's page after page of you saying, hey, now that you got this, you're going to need this. Would you like to buy it now? Hey, now you're going to need this. Would you like to buy it now? Type situation. And I can show you examples of this. Just hit me up. I might actually show you. We're constantly talking about Leah McHenry.
Right.
Just because when I first started getting into music, because you guys know I'm not a musician. I'm trying to look the part, but I'm not. So I started looking for what musicians doing this kind of stuff. And she's doing the funnel. She's doing the website. She's doing the social. But and then a website, right? So the difference between a funnel and a website is a website, you usually have a menu of options. Usually have like, go here, you can do this, you can do that. It gives someone the availability to go somewhere, see that you're authentic, see what you're about, and look at all the different things you do in one place. Now, when you're driving traffic, that's not usually conclusive to getting that conversion.
Right, because what happens is people go to your regular website and they start clicking all around and they forget that, you know, you're trying to, you know, that they wanted to buy that shirt or that download or whatever. They start messing around. When we started a long time ago, Carrie and I remembers this, I called that a fan capture sequence or a fan capture page, where you would create a page that did one thing and they could only do one thing on that page. Mm-hmm. And that was sort of like our entry into what I guess, Joe, you know, you would consider a funnel. What I always told musicians was this, Joe, and you can sort of like verify, confirm or deny, was that the regular website is kind of great for like other people in the industry. If you want to show, bloggers, YouTubers, podcasters, all the cool stuff you're doing and how you're involved in all the gigs and all the awesome photos and everything. But if you're trying to capture fans and bring them into some kind of sequence, you still have to have those capture pages or those lead generating pages, those funnel pages. Is that kind of what we're saying?
So yes and no.
Okay. Okay.
So if I'm a fan and I see Lou either on the podcast or an event, or happen to hear his music somewhere, and I want to know more, I'm not going to know where your funnels are to go through a specific funnel for a specific thing.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to go to your website. And on your website, I'm going to be presented, or I should be presented, with everything that you do so I can choose what I want to see more of.
Okay.
Okay. So if I met you through your podcast and I want to see more of your podcast, I can go to your podcast. If I, you know, went to an event and I want to hear some of your music or buy a CD, I can go to your website. I can find your shop pretty quickly and buy a CD.
So is this because the introduction has already been made at that point?
It's because the introduction has already been made, and you're not being pre-framed with a specific thought before you go to the website, or at least you specifically don't know what that thought is. Okay. But on a funnel, you're normally either creating a YouTube post, a Facebook post, a Pinterest pin, running an ad on Pinterest, YouTube, Facebook, display ad, whatever you're doing. You're normally creating an ad. You're pre-framing them with a thought, which is usually a hook and a story and some kind of offer. So you've got to get their attention, tell a short story, present an offer, and get them to go to the next thing. Now, when they go to the next thing, it's a landing page, right? And on that landing page, once again, you're advancing on the initial offer, telling more of a story, putting some testimonials, creating some good faith, and then you're presenting an offer. So you're giving them one thing that they're going to do on that page, on a landing page. So you're controlling the entire journey from ad to page to page to page to up your cart value. Okay. So some people fight over, you know, is a store like on Shopify better than a funnel? The reality is, if they go to a store, yes, they can pick multiple things and put them in their cart and la-di-doo, but they have the control. You know what I mean? They're going to go there. They're going to find multiple things in the cart, and then they're going to pick them. And maybe they finish buying, maybe they don't. In a funnel, they're being pre-framed and convinced through pain points and desires and all the emotional triggers to buy that first thing. And then they're given something that then adds on top of that. So normally, if I offered someone a CD, okay, maybe the CD is on a specific topic and there's a shirt that goes with it, or there's a figurine that goes with it, or there's another CD, right? And you can add a little order bump at the bottom, and you control what they're picking next based on what you believe the next solution is for them. Always look at an offer as if an offer solves a problem, and it should. An offer should always solve a problem, but it also creates a problem. So if I'm giving them a CD and they're rocking out and they're listening to that, then what's the next thing they may want? If you know they're a musician and they want to play like you do or sing like you do, they may want to get on a call with you and start getting lessons.
Okay, I want to stop. I want because I have some questions about this. Okay, mm-hmm. Because Carrie, you've seen John Ojaka's stuff, haven't you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay, because I came through that and Leah's stuff, and they both seem to tell you to do something to interrupt people, like a Facebook ad or something like that.
That's the hook.
Okay. And then you don't send them to your website. You send them to the landing page.
Right.
Okay. because exactly what you said. So I'm just a little nervous about sending people to my website right away, because I just feel like they will get to the website and not know what to do, or not that they won't know what to do, but they'll be like, oh, that's cool. That's cool. Oh, I didn't know we did
You're
that.
Those are
some cool
that.
Pictures. And yes. not really driving them. So where I'm a little confused is, how do we keep them when they get to the, if you do send them to your actual website? And, you know, so like I'm doing the podcast. So when I do the podcast, I send people to one of two things. I either send them to my landing page, or send them to another landing page, actually, that gets them into my private Facebook group. So that is a landing page, technically.
Actually.
Yeah. So that actually is a landing page. So I don't even worry about my website, because if they're turned on by what I'm doing, then I want them to come right into my world. And then when they get into that group, they are going to learn all the other stuff. They're going to get the photos and the downloads and stuff like that. The other way I've done it before was to offer a free download or CD or something like that, or 2-for-1 offer or whatever. And that worked as well. I'm just, how are we, if they go to the website, which my website was lulombardi.com, which I lost. Thank you. What's the name of that terrible website place? GoDaddy. They totally screwed me. When they would go there, there was like, you know what I mean? I didn't feel like that was conducive to bringing them into my world. Controlling the discussion, I think, is what the phrase, which I like.
Yeah. So I don't think you're okay. So, if you were to start with me from the very beginning,
okay,
you would have not have had three websites.
Okay.
You would have one.
All right.
Okay. A website, like I said,
do you hear that, everybody? See, get with Joe right away, and you don't like waste money and time building a bunch of websites and crap, and they'll do anything for you.
I am never sending traffic to your website.
Okay.
Unless your website has a lead capture on the first page, which I suggest you do, but I still don't suggest you send paid traffic to your website.
Okay.
Because your website is it's a whole ecosystem of what you do,
right,
all in one place. Okay. It's for someone who doesn't, like, they didn't see an ad. They didn't see a Facebook post. They weren't on your podcast. They maybe heard of you in an event, or a friend told them about you. It's just about authority and like showing that you're credible. So you can on your website over here have a bunch of links to all the different things you do. And a lot of people cheat. A lot of people will take those links at the top of their site.
Right.
And instead of having them be multiple pages on their website, it'll be actually links to their funnels.
Ooh, sneaky, sneaky,
which saves, sneaky. It saves time and makes it a lot easier to switch things out, but it does lose some SEO credibility just a little bit.
Yeah.
And also, if you don't know what you're doing with your funnel SEO.
Okay. Go ahead, Carrie had a question.
And also things like that. You also got to think about the person who's clicked on that, and then they realize what you're doing. How do they react to spotting you doing? Because that's quite that's not a very subtle dodge. That's what you're doing.
So you're trying to mix value. So you're trying to mix pain points, solutions, and value in a way that you're giving them something that they're actually looking for, but you're selling them the next thing. Because that's one of the things I wanted to talk about here. Let me ask you a question. Is your music production, is it a business or is it a hobby? So if it's a business or both, you know, you can love what you do and try to make money. If it's a business, you've got to take into consideration the entire time, the business equation. Okay. Which is traffic plus conversions equals cash. Without traffic, you can't have conversions.
I am taking tons of notes. Sorry. I'm
now
just
conversions,
like,
you're wasting money on traffic. And if you don't have cash flow, how are you living? Like, you can't run a business without cash flow. You can't push your hobby or your business further without cash flow. There are plenty of us who got into music, martial arts, art, whatever it is, and we were doing it, but we really wanted, like, more you know, a new guitar, a new amp, you know, more paints, maybe a punching bag over there. You know, you wanted to go spar or you wanted to go do whatever, and your hobby dies because you don't have cash flow. And if it's a business, guys, come on. Like, that's the whole point. You got to have cash flow. So you've got to take into consideration, if I'm going to drive traffic, do I want to send them to a website where they have multiple choices and can be lost? No. So I want a funnel. I want them to go from my traffic to a specific thing and take the next action, not only for my benefit, right, but for their benefit. Because if I truly believe in what I'm offering on that page, why am I, you know, why am I not going to try to have that impact? Why am I not going to, you know, try to make a difference in that person's life? Right. So I don't want to send them to an authority website where it's a bunch of stuff that I do. I want to send them to a page where it's one thing. That one thing is the one thing that the ad or the advertisement hooked them on in the first place, got their attention, told a short story, got them to come over, and now we know that they're interested. They raised their hand. They said, hey, me, let me see more.
Yeah. Excellent.
Okay.
I love that. I put that in bold in the notes. So, traffic plus conversions equals money. That's like
and you,
we need simple. Sometimes you need a simple, even though there's a lot of steps in all that, you need that simple kind of mindset sometimes to just like, so keep yourself on track. You know, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe. It's good stuff. Go ahead.
And you were referencing this to you, Lou. So you kind of put yourself on a hot seat. I hope you don't mind.
Here I go. I'm in trouble now.
So you have two websites, for at least four or five funnels that you created, landing pages, all these social things going on. When I looked at your business, I wanted to use what you already had, but I also wanted to improve it. So right off the gate, I know people can want to go to the podcast. They can want to get into the inner circle. They can want to hear your music. And then you've got a lot of other things you've done in the past that we're going to be presenting in the future. So I had to think, like, do I recreate all these assets or do I try to use some of these assets? That's where the bot came in. Because it's a conversation. I can bring them in and say, hey, guys, you know, Lou does all these things. Check out the podcast first. Get into the inner circle. And if you're in the inner circle, all these other things will come to light. You'll be in his environment, blah, blah, blah. So I tried to control the exposure by making the bot the first thing in your funnel. So it doesn't always have to be a landing page.
It could be a bot. It can be a bot.
Right,
you know, and
but
and
I did Carrie's
smiling because you know that Carrie loves bots.
but I did something tricky, right?
So yes, you did.
So reality is, where do you want them to be, Lou?
I want them to come to my inner circle because I feel like I can control the narrative, if you will, to use a current term, there. And I also don't have to try to reach the entire world. I can be there. People, we just get people in there and then people can get to know, like, and trust me in that space. Because they're seeing me all the time. I'm in there all the time. I'm doing stuff. I'm talking to everybody. And it's a lot easier, like I said, than trying to talk to the entire world. You know, when you're just broadcasting out there on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, you know, it's like a kind of like, it's like buckshot. You know what I mean? Like, it all shoots out and you hope you hit something. Whereas if you can bring people into some kind of space where you know, you can deal with it, you can control it, and they are paying attention, you have a way better, in my mind, at least in theory, you have a much better chance of leveraging that to sales or to whatever, to the next step, whatever you want them to take.
Well, the Facebook post notifies people when you go live. You can create an event for your podcast for when you go live. It's the only place you can get your podcast live interactive with you and Liz, Lily V6.
Right.
So it notifies people whenever you do something and they're in your environment, it creates camaraderie. We're not just about selling things, right? It's a community for rock and rollers. Mm-hmm. Like it actually brought the rock and roller and me out more. So
yeah,
it's pretty cool. So because of that, like the first offer is check out the inner circle. And I try to make it really quick and simple. Get in your inner circle. If they wanted more information, great. Get more information. The second one is see the podcast. But at the end of the podcast, I'm saying over and over and over again, look, your best experience is going to be in the inner circle. This is where it's live. This is where it's interactive. It's exclusive in the inner circle. Get in the inner circle. Yeah, and at the end of every CD you do, hey, have you checked out the inner circle lately? Check up all the new things going on.
Right.
Because that's where you're building rapport and staying interactive with your audience. And I've beat this over the head a million times in the last, I don't know how many podcasts we've done, 4 or 5, but it's all about your audience. Yeah. I'm not going to push that any further because I have other things to say.
Okay. So go ahead and move on. That we're kind of, I told Joe at the beginning before we started and Karen and I were talking like, you know, we're going to be in, this is a discussion. So we're going to be jumping in and asking questions. Carrie, before we, Joe continues, do you have any other comments or questions or anything before he gets to his next point?
No, I think we're good right now.
So the one thing that has come up, but I want to shed a little bit more light on, is the fact that it's not all about these channels, these conversion options, like whether you want to use website, funnel, or listing service. It's also about you. Okay. So like Lou, I kind of like said, hey, you're on the hot seat here. Let's talk about it. Lou had those assets. Okay. So he had the podcast. He has, you know, the inner circle. He has all these things he's doing. A lot of times when you get on a webinar and someone's trying to sell you, they're trying to sell you the next strategy or the next thing that they found worked for them. Which if they're being honest and transparent, it did work for them and it has worked for their audience. But the question comes down to, do you know yourself and is it going to work for you? So I have some notes of some questions you should ask yourself. And guys, this is normally stuff I do in the first strategy call. When you get on, try to get on with me as a client. So take note of this. Okay. Do you have content published and where? Make links to what you've currently done, what you're currently doing, so that if, say, you are getting busy, because you should be the one creating content, talking to your audience and making sales. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're going to bring someone on to help you, like a VA from the Philippines, a strategy coach, anyone, you need to know where you're at. Don't make them take a month or two searching everywhere to figure out what's there. So have a list of all your content. And this will help you make decisions too. You jump on a webinar late at night and they're like, yeah, do this, do, 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 do. You'll be like, wait, I'm publishing a podcast and I'm doing these links. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. This doesn't fall in line with what I'm currently doing. I'm not going to pay $2,000 right now. You know what I mean? It helps you make decisions. All right. So the other thing is, what products do you have? Do you have CDs or is it one song for now? Do you have t-shirts? Like I see Lou wearing t-shirts. I'm his marketing guy. I see him wearing t-shirts I didn't know about. What?
We talked about that shirt last week.
Yeah.
I think that's why you got it out of the closet.
Yeah, I got to go over his house, right?
I know.
Is that the cheap version or is that the Jersey one?
What people have... going on sometimes, and you're gonna, and as bad as I am with organization, I'm very disorganized. I'm a typical musician, and I'm not saying that's a good thing. I need to get more organized. But what you're often dealing with, and Joe, you've probably run into this as well with other clients, is very often these people that sound terrible. Very often people, very often people are like starting this business as they are doing something else. You know what I mean? And so they don't have, you know, they're running around. Like, and I'm actually in a better position because I don't have a family. I know Carrie's has a family. You don't have any children. Carrie, do you have children?
Topic. I don't have children. No.
You don't have children. Okay. But that even, so if you've got children, that compounds the whole situation even more. And so a lot of times people don't. And if you don't start out being organized and keeping lists like this, what ends up happening, it becomes like a freaking octopus, you know, with all kind of arms and tentacles, and you don't know where everything is. And yes, I will admit, and thank God my VA in the Philippines did have a lot of that stuff, access to. So sometimes, like, I'll forget, like, what our login is to this, whatever, and I'll be messaging him saying, Mike, how do I get in here? You know, we tried. I had some of the stuff, but I was pretty much all over the place. Yeah. I assume, Joe, that you saw, and I apologize, that you did see our DigiJam store. And these t-shirts are there and stuff like that.
I did see that.
So there's these t-shirts are there. So I apologize if I did not point that out. But you're making a very good point of, like, keeping lists and keeping... You can get Evernote, which is free, and you can just create notebooks on, you know, here's everything I have in my store. Here's all the links to all my different pages. Here's all my social medias. And then you have it organized. Don't be like me.
You just want to keep links of everything you have currently now. That might be that your audience may want in the future. Okay. So that you know where you're at. Like, you shouldn't be talking about creating a Shopify store if you have one album and maybe one t-shirt. You know what I mean? Right. A Shopify store, you want to have multiple products available, because that's the whole idea, is they're going to a Shopify store with multiple products where they can surf around and choose what they want to buy. Like, if you have one CD and one t-shirt, you can easily put that into a landing page with a little cart, maybe add the t-shirt as an order bump if you want. You know what I mean? So you wouldn't even be having a conversation as a musician with me about a website, per se. If right now you're like, Joe, I have a CD, I have one t-shirt, I'm going out and doing events. Do I need a website? No. No, you don't. All you need is, you know, maybe a little landing page to sell your CD and your t-shirt while you're out at the events, to push all your social media to. And then maybe you want to create a small funnel to, like, highlight yourself as a band and really like a media funnel in order to get more events and more gigs. Okay. So I'm not saying this to tell people you're doing anything wrong. I'm trying to empower you all.
You want to put the proper procedure together with the proper amount of content, product, and everything. So there's no sense, like, it's just common sense. A lot of times we get all excited because we watch a webinar or YouTube video. We run out. I want to start a Shopify store. Or I want to do, you know what I mean? So you're saying, like, use some, you know, if you only have a few things, that stuff can be easily managed through, you know, a page on your website and PayPal and a couple of things and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And for you guys, it might come down to a collective, right?
So would you say, Carrie said something? Would you say, Carrie?
I was going to say, the other thing, if you do your Shopify store, you've kind of opened a can of worms, because then you've got to do returns regulations, you've got to do tax, you've got to do all the stuff about running a shop, even though you've got two products. You've put a whole lot of work on your table for not much return.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So we've been talking a little bit about products and stuff, and we're going to get into that in future podcasts about that, but that's well said for now. Good, Joe. I'm sorry. Like I said, guys, we're not trying to step all over Joe. I always said at the beginning, this is a discussion. So it's not like, you know, we don't want Joe to kind of just, like, be presenting like kind of a webinar. You know, it's an interactive thing. We're trying to think of questions you guys might ask as well to keep it lively. Go ahead.
No, and I appreciate that, because it's actually making it easier and lighter for me. and I'm going to try to get through the stuff about, like, you as a musician, pretty quickly now, because I've got to get to the actual platform themselves. Okay. So, the other thing you want to consider is your time, because, like Carrie just said, everything that you create in your business is going to add another level of complexity to your business, which is it is going to take away from your music. Okay. So you want to think about how much time do I have? Like me, when I quit my job and started working from home, I had family, I had this, I had that, that I didn't estimate into like what time I would have, like Lou was talking about. Money. Money can help you do things quicker. So like if I want to have a Shopify store, a funnel, and I want to be listed on every listing service because I want my music to be like in front of everybody, then chances are, unless you have a lot of skills, which is the next thing, and a lot of time, you're going to have to pay someone to do these things. Okay. So then it comes down to skills, you know. One, be honest with you about your skills as a musician. Be honest with yourself about your skills as a marketer, because whether you're an artist, a musician, a coach, whatever you're doing, we all need to learn some level of marketing or have someone in our back pocket who knows a little more than us in marketing, hopefully a lot more than us in marketing, right? You know, who can you partnership with? Sometimes you don't have to pay people. Sometimes people will partner with you because there's a trade, there's value there. You know, there's hidden value between me and Lou, because me being on these masterminds is helping me open up as a presenter and as a speaker. Thank you, Lou.
real quick, you mentioned something about learning. Whether you're going to outsource or not, still learn, because this will help you pick up on who's full of BS. If you're trying to hire somebody who doesn't, you'll be able to pick up very quickly. I'm having a situation with somebody right now in my other business who doesn't know what they're doing. And we had hired them, we're under a contract, and I'm frustrated. But I won't get into that. So you can smell the BS if you have some knowledge of this stuff. That doesn't mean that you have to go out and become some kind of expert. But if you know something, you can actually end up saving yourself money by hiring people that, A, you know, you're going to be able to tell that they know what they're doing. Or yeah. B, you can get away with like a VA and who you can guide. Okay. So that's why get some knowledge of this stuff. Don't be like, well, I'm just going to, you know, give it to somebody else, because you could spend all kinds of money and still not get any results because the person may not know what they're doing. Or they may not understand your business. And I think that's one of the reasons why Joe and I were able to work together, is because I have a lot of marketing knowledge. So he and I could speak the same language, and I could, you know, catch him up into the music side of things. Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
Yeah, like knowing how and doing it are two different things.
Yeah.
But if you know how, then at least you can tell if the person who says they can do it, or if they are doing it a different way, then you can ask them, how come you're not doing this? And if they can't give you a proper answer at that point, it's a warning sign.
Right. It's knowledge is always good. Yeah.
But you're never going to know everything.
Absolutely. And there are people in this business. There are people in the marketing, Joe, and you know this, like you're like the funnel guy, but there's people that are like experts. They could tell you everything about YouTube. There's people that could tell you everything about Facebook ads. I mean, there's like, so, you know, the world is getting, you know, more diverse with these markets. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And once I realized that I wanted to use a bot to open up the conversation, because like the podcast is a conversation, this mastermind is a conversation, so it lent well to opening up a conversation. I had to go back and say, okay, am I going to hire someone to help me build a bot, or am I going to learn the regulations? Am I going to go through and figure out what changed in the last 2 months with bots that is going to make it so whatever I build is going to be legitimate? So you've got to make those kind of decisions. And in my case, I have the time. I need to learn it. I did it. I have the skills. And you know, I didn't have to push that back on it. So authority and credibility. Sometimes you have a network of people and you have authority, you have an audience, especially if you have an email list. Guys, build an email list. You know, that's the other thing we beat on every podcast. So, you know, take these things in. Oh, and your personality traits, right? I didn't like being on things like this. I was scared. And for the longest time, that stopped me. I mean, it took time for me to build up confidence to do it. But I needed to recognize that from the beginning and like start writing or doing something else I was comfortable with in order to build my business. So I'm saying just know yourself. Like if nothing else comes from being a musician, okay, and if nothing else comes from being an entrepreneur, it should be the biggest empowerment and self-improvement thing you've ever did in your life. And that, I'm going to get off that soapbox, but it's true. Like know yourself. Okay, so let's actually get into the meat and potatoes of what we're here for. So if I'm on a listing service, and that's what I'm calling it, either a listing service or a listing network. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I've known people to build million-dollar businesses with listing services and listing networks. I know a guy who used a site to create a $5 million general contracting business. I know people who used Amazon through FBA to build e-commerce businesses. When you do that, if you take in consideration the business equation, traffic plus conversions equal cash, okay? The listing network provides traffic. It's not traffic you control. And they put regulations on you because it's one where they're listing things and it's their traffic. So it's their brand identity and it's slipping from me right now, but their credibility that's on the line. So they are going to control you. Okay. But they will provide a certain level of traffic. The problem with that traffic, okay, so there's pros. You're getting free traffic. You don't have to know how to get traffic. The problem with that traffic is, one, it's regulated by them. And two, you're probably on there with a bunch of your competitors. Like, if you're listing music, then you probably are surrounded by CDs of other people's music who are similar to you, unless you've really carved out a niche. Okay? And so like your conversions are getting lost. So they're providing you traffic, but your conversions are, and you're getting free conversions, but your conversions are getting, some of your conversions are depleting. And then cash wise, they're usually taking either upfront through a subscription or on the back end from the profits, they're taking X amount of your revenues. So when you're pricing your products, you've got to consider, one, can I be competitive with my competition on this service? And two, am I going to be profitable? Most of the time, most entrepreneurs, musicians, I can pull up Leah's, you know, her CDs are selling for $12.99 on Amazon. But if you look at her funnels or her store, they're not selling for $12.99. Because she's trying to be competitive on Amazon and she knows that people are flipping through real quick, looking at things. She wants them to impulse buy or at least see her brand so that later on when they see her brand again, they may buy or they may go to her website, look at everything she does. That's when a website is important, right?
Okay.
Look at everything she does and be like, hey, you know, I want this CD. Well, that shirt's cool. Well, maybe they don't like any of that. Maybe they're like, hey, dragon boots, man. That's awesome. You know what I mean? So a listing service, I would say, is for the person just starting out to get exposure, make some sales, and build their skills higher. Get themselves to a point where they can afford a funnel or a website.
It's no different, guys, than, you know, if you started teaching guitar lessons or Carrie teaches voice lessons or piano lessons, and maybe you start out at a music store or one of these like private music schools, but you want to build your business. So you start there and you find ways to kind of maybe get students interested in some of the other stuff you're doing. Maybe they join your, maybe, you know, today you could bring them, again, private Facebook group, hate to harp on that, or whatever, You do. So you could start. And I did it many times. I started offering like lessons on Sundays. The place wasn't open on Sundays. So I was able to kind of like move people around and build my own teaching business. I was very successful at it in the 90s. But I started out small. You know, I took with a little bit of, and even it's like no different than the guy that has the brick and mortar, you know, or the office that he's renting, you know, somewhere. You know, he starts with, you know, himself. As he gets some money, he's able to hire a secretary. Then that enables him to go out and generate more business. He can bring on somebody else to, you know, Joe, you understand. We all understand this is how business works. So this gives you an opportunity, if I may sort of summarize what you're saying, to kind of scale from a place of, hey, I don't got a lot of money to get started, but these people can sell my stuff and I can get a little bit of momentum with a little bit of cash flow coming. Joe's nodding in the affirmative.
And it's helping you, right? So it's not only helping you get a little money and helping you get some market recognition. So it's helping your audience kind of know who, you know, building your audience and get to know who you are. But it's also helping you prove that what you're doing has a financial value to everyone else, that they're willing to pay for it, which is very important. Like knowing that your product has a market value before you spend tons of money on websites and funnels and everything, that's very important in the equation.
So you're suggesting too that maybe people should just should put their music, et cetera, there first. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
I am. To be honest with you, I am. Because you don't have as much barrier to entry, right? So it's the path of least resistance that you can get in, list your music, try to make some sales, and get some exposure.
So how would you try to
What I am not saying, though, is that if you're putting something on a listing service, that's your only move and that you don't advance.
Okay.
Because the reason why I'm saying this is I just said you're on there with how many other people. You don't know what kind of traffic your product's getting.
Right.
Okay. You don't know why they're not choosing you. So if you're 100% like, this is my business, then you're not just going to do a listing service. There's no one versus the other, even though that's what we titled this.
Okay.
It's where do I start? How do I start the quickest and start making the most momentum? And then where do I go from there?
Okay.
And then where do I go from there?
So what would you suggest? Because we're kind of running out of time. What would you suggest should be the order of things?
So that's why I'm doing this in this order, because the next thing is a funnel. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I believe that is because usually what I try to do with a funnel is find something that's higher value. So I start doing my offer stacking, right? So like I talked earlier, you may do a CD with, you know, a signed CD you may do a CD with like a video, with like a shirt, with these things. Like normally I do this for coaches, so it's a lot easier to get that cart value higher, you know, because I can then get them to pay for higher value things,
right?
Which is why I pushed Lou into going back into his lessons or doing coaching. So with a funnel, what I'm doing is I'm saying, okay, this is my traffic. So I own this traffic coming in. I'm building an email list, and this is now my audience, my traffic. Okay. So if you're listing your music on Amazon, Spotify, blah, 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 your next move is a funnel. And take the assets you have now to build a funnel to own your own traffic and own your own audience. Makes sense, right? And the profit's usually higher. I mean, yes, you have to watch those numbers. You have to watch how much you're paying for the traffic to come into the funnel and what your profitability of the product, the back end is, which is why we like to mix. And I don't know if you're doing this, Carrie, but we like to mix physical products with digital products.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had
buy one.
Yeah, we've had.
If they buy one physical product, they buy one physical product, you're already paying for shipping. Get them to buy another.
Yeah.
Okay. So then we get to
the. That's the. Would you like fries with that?
Yeah. So then we get to the website. All right. You need the website in case someone just, they don't know where to go. They want to know more about you. Right? So you need the website, but you need the website once you start getting a grip. When you start climbing and you're like, oh, there's someone beside me. You know what I mean? And you start building momentum. You're like, okay, now I'm going to start getting people talking about me and I need a website. And guys, websites, unless you're doing a blog, which we'll talk about in a minute, websites don't have to be super complicated. They don't have to be 5, 6, 7, 10, 20 pages. And they don't actually have to be just a website. You can turn your website into its own version of a funnel. And you can have a website with just 2 pages. You can have a website, even if it's a blog, with just 2 pages. A landing page, like the home page, and the blog. And all your other business can be a funnel if you want. It really depends on you, right? Are you a writer? Are you going to want to write? Is a blog even part of the conversation? Are you a person who does videos? Are you a person who creates just music? Or maybe you have an artist in your band. If you have an artist in your band, start having them share their art if it's relative to your band. So there's a lot to consider here. There's not one solution for anyone. Does this all make sense? I'd love to get you two's feedback. I know I've been
Carrie, I've been kind of jumping in a lot. You got something you want to ask or add?
If you
disagree with something, say it. I mean, this is
tell me.
I'm just looking at what I've done here. I'm just looking back at my notes. You covered most things. We're getting this whole thing about platforms. Obviously, we've been having all sorts of trouble with Etsy lately.
That's another thing. If, you know, with Etsy, if it's your only resource,
yeah,
and they drop you, just like you were talking about Facebook weeks ago.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people where that's happened. I mean, one of the problems is that Etsy was a platform that was set up by people who couldn't run a business any other way. And it was a great outlet for them. And now this guy's come in and decided, no, now we're going to run it exactly the same way as a sweatshop in China does. And if it doesn't, then fuck you. It's like, but they're doing it so badly that, I can't see Etsy surviving if it carries on like it is. Because the first quarter profits will come in and show they've fallen off a cliff and then it'll be out.
Well, that's the risk you run when you do use this. Is somebody, like we say people all the time, you know, people say, well, I got all these fans on Facebook or Twitter. But what happens if this is so easy nowadays with our environment to piss somebody off and get in Facebook jail or be banned from Twitter? I mean, that's happening all the time. So, you know, you have, this is why it's important to bring people, you know, have some means of bringing people in. Do you guys have any, are you able to sell from a website or anything like that, Carrie, or do you have an alternative?
Oh, we're doing it. I mean, like where it comes back to, and the problem we've always had there is the old traffic plus conversions thing.
Yeah.
It is devish. And it's exactly what you've said there about when you use a listing service, then that's the traffic taken care of. It's there on that site.
Right.
And these are all the things that you would normally spend 60% investing in. And if you're not doing that up front or you don't know how to do that up front, then it's devilishly hard getting them to a website. So that's the hard part, really, is getting that promo of doing that, which is the funnel, which is exactly what we've been talking about.
You know, I think of places like Amazon, eBay, Etsy, places like that. You know, I'm old. I remember going to the mall when I was a kid. And, you know, that's where everybody would go to see what was going on. And, you know, there were the big anchor stores, and then there was all the little stores, you know, Spencer's Gifts, National Record Mart, Walden Books, boy, oh God, I'm old. But and then you go to the food court because you got hungry. So what that mall did, and they charged a premium for it, they provided traffic. This is, you know, this is an analog.
Here's to what a bunch of hungry people.
Yeah. Right. So a bunch of people come around, they would walk around, nothing to do on a Friday night. They would be perusing whatever was there. And if you would, the anchor stores like Bon-Ton, JCPenney's, Macy's, places like that, that, you know, people, I got to go to Macy's because they're doing whatever. Well, while you're there, you're at the mall. Hey, we're going to go get something to eat. Or, hey, you know, let's, oh, I forgot I needed to pick up, you know, whatever, I'm going to go, oh, crap, I need that adapter. I have to go to Radio Shack. Oh, you know, somebody wants a CD. Let's run to National Record Mart or whatever. So they would all benefit, those smaller stores would benefit from these anchor stores and from being in the mall altogether. That's the value that you get from places like Amazon, eBay, et cetera. What happened with the same thing that happened in the mall, though, they priced themselves out of existence. Came too expensive, and even little stores and stuff like that could not survive on it. So they changed the rules and it ended up hurting a lot of those businesses. Back then, there was no alternative. With it being virtual, there are some ways you can do stuff. I was going to ask you, Carrie, do you guys have, because the easy, Joe, and we all know this, and I'll just say, in case people are listening don't know this, the easiest people to sell to are the people who've already bought from you, right?
Right.
And it's that in my auto business, you know, once we got a customer, if we, long as we're good with them, you know, they'll come back for more stuff. So what are you doing, Carrie? Do you guys have a like a list of people, you know, that have bought from you that you can kind of go back to and reach out to?
And we can do things. They do need to opt into mailing lists. That's important. Right. Because you will piss people off if they don't and you send them stuff. The thing that people do, even when they weren't meant to on eBay and the rest of them, is in the parcel there would be a compliment slip saying, hey, thanks for your order. We really appreciate it. Now, if you go to our website, then you will get a 10% off your next order. Now, of course, officially, the platforms do not want you doing this because it's taking traffic away from them.
Right.
But it's their traffic.
That piece of paper is in the parcel. They do not see the parcel. The customer is not going to tell the platform about the slip of paper that's in the parcel.
Yeah.
So the platform can go suck. That little piece of paper has been driving traffic to your website. It is not a mailing list. That is true. It is, but it is one way of getting that traffic into.
Is there a way? Now, and I was going to ask Joe this. I'm going to ask you because I'm not familiar with these services. Like in terms of, I've bought off of them, but I'm not familiar with like selling on them. Is there a way? Do you get their email address when they buy from you or not?
Most of the time, no. So the traffic that you send to Amazon or eBay or one of those, it's their traffic and you're not actually sending it. The traffic that they have that's going to buy your product is their traffic. They don't want you remarketing and reselling to them. Most of them, you got to check the regulations of the listing service because I don't want to, and this changes for some of them. So I don't want to say that it's never yours. Sometimes when you buy, you can then have them as yours once they buy. So check your listing service, make sure you know what their rules, what their regulations, what you're allowed to do and not to do. And Carrie, I've seen people put little like stickers on the bottom of the product just to hide the fact that they were trying to get you to go to their website, or their funnel, after you purchase. And I've seen them do things like give something away free on that sticker just to get you into their funnel. So there's tricks, but if you get caught, then it is that a listing service's right to kick you off.
Yeah. Well, I suppose the ideal thing is to get to the point where if they kick you off, they can do their worst, because by that point, you've got your website going.
Right.
So it's an escalation process. Yeah. That's what I was trying to get to you know, you may start off with a listing service, use a funnel as a link. For a while in between maybe the listing service or your social or whatever you're doing to get attention, and then build a website. So then the more assets you have over time, the bigger business you have. And the more assets you have over time and the more traffic you have over time, the seeing your products and get to knowing your products, going from unaware to aware, to a buyer, to a repeat buyer, to a raving fan. Okay, the bigger your business gets, and if one of those assets starts to fall for some reason, you have the others to keep going. And right. most of the time, if one of those assets starts to fall, you'll notice if you're watching your metrics, one of those will shift upwards. Mm. Okay. So always think about who am I? Where am I at? What's my path of least resistance right now? And what's the next thing I should be doing? And don't stop. Keep doing a little bit, a little bit, a little bit until you get to where you want to be, wherever that is.
I bet there are creative ways to start to build one off the other. Mm-hmm. We just don't know them yet. And there's probably people who have mastered this as well. So it would be worth doing a little bit of research on how we can reconvert people from who buy from us off of eBay or Amazon or whatever into how do we then move them smoothly into, I mean, even just putting, you're not, I mean, I would just imagine just, I don't know. I've never done it, so I don't want to run my mouth. You guys actually have more experience with that than me. But I just, I wouldn't want to lose all that, those customers. You know what I mean? Like if that's where I was selling and I couldn't reach back out to them somehow. So that's like, that's a little, and I've even bought stuff on eBay. And I mean, I know that there's all kind of warnings that come up and say, you know, do not purchase. If somebody asks you to buy this product away off of eBay, don't do it. It's a scam, or, you know, they have all kind of warnings stuff. And I know that's just to keep you from, you know, leaving eBay. eBay wants to make the money.
Let's be fair to eBay. It is also to protect their audience. Yeah. Because like you were talking about.
Well, there are scammers, but I'm thinking of a specific situation where I don't want to get into it here. It's way too long to get into, but I'm thinking of a specific situation where somebody legitimately needed me to deal directly with them because of the, because of some question with a very high, like a $4,000 item that I was buying. So, and all these things popped up, you know, don't do it. You know, and it was all legit. Everything worked out fine. The guy was totally cool. It was a situation, but anyways, go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead, Kerry.
So another thing on those at the moment that's sort of coming in. I don't want to sort of break the flow if you've got something that's relevant to that. The big one at the moment is there's so many drop shippers. And since Alibaba Express made it really easy to start a drop shipping business, a lot of people are doing it very, very badly. I know both of you have dabbled on this successfully. And we all know what it is. There's a lot of people now, though, who are doing it dishonestly. And I know that, Lou, you said before about you can sell something, you can always say, sorry, we're out of stock. Well, I've got to say right now, that well is being plucked pretty dry. And it's also the point now, it's getting like, if I had a cent every time somebody had said, you order something and they'll keep you, string you along for 2 months. And then finally, they'll even sort of mark it as dispatched. Then, of course, it doesn't come. And then eventually they'll say, sorry, it's out of stock. I've got to go and communicate with our warehouse. Bullshit, have you got a warehouse? You're running out of
right,
your house.
Right. There's always, what ends up hurting people is there's this lowest common denominator of people that the lowest dregs are at the bottom of the barrel who will scam and do whatever they can. And they screw it up for legitimate business people like Carrie and myself and Joe.
A lot of people pissing the pool.
Yeah.
Right now.
You know what I mean? That and they mess it up. And that's what these services are trying to do. Right, guys. They're trying to control for that. I mean, it isn't unreasonable. Most of what they're trying to do. I mean, they're not like thieves. They're really trying to, for the most part, give a good service. Sometimes they get misguided in the case of Etsy, and we'll have to just see how that all bears out. That may go away. But I think for the most part, they are trying to kind of protect, you know, the customers too.
So they're running a business.
There is one way out of this. And here's one thing that does sort of differentiate, you're more likely to see a scammer when they're like a jack of all trades and they're just following trends and they don't look like they know the business. And maybe this is going to be a topic for another call, is going to be specialism and micro niche.
Right.
So,
and because like people who are specialized in one small thing probably won't be scamming you on it because it just wouldn't be worth it. They couldn't afford to lose it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's an entire website devoted to guitar strings. I was looking for a specific kind of guitar string, and it's just, that's all they sell is just to get, they've got any kind of guitar string or banjo string, bass string that you want, you know? So if you're fussy about that, that's your thing. You know, they obviously have a great thing and they ship pretty quick too. So looking at people like that, so that's an example of that. Joe, what were you going to say? And guys, we're going to have to kind of wind it down because we are at 60 minutes.
So like you were saying with the malls and everything, before the internet became a big thing and all these people realized that they could run their own business, you went to a mall, that's where everybody collected, and the malls could control the pricing. Things kind of went online, it became the Wild West, and people like you and I could start selling. But then more and more and more people came along, and now the listing services are trying to control that. Your traffic services are trying to control that. Eventually, there's going to be so much competition. It's getting there now, where you have to find a way to set yourself apart. If you don't set yourself apart, if you're not unique in any way, you're not going to survive.
So the virtual marketplace is becoming like the real marketplace, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
It's becoming, we've gotten to that point. I mean, yeah. So the make money quick online thing is like over. You have to be a legitimate business. You've got to, quick. The operative word is quick. Not that you can't make money online. I mean, before anybody, let's put it this way, Carrie and Joe, right? Before anybody really knew what was happening, there were people who were able to sell on YouTube right away because they were kind of first to market. That's a word, right, Joe? They were first to market. But once the market gets flooded, same thing happens. It's the same idea. So so be good. Like, make sure you have a good quality thing, and go back and re-listen to this because, my God, we covered like, I don't know if I could even summarize this. I have a hard time. I'm going to have to make up some kind of show notes on this.
I'm definitely going to want to be sharing this with everyone.
So anyway, go ahead. So we got to get some final thoughts, guys, because we're over 60 and we want to keep this digestible for folks.
Who wants to start?
Final thoughts. Go, Joe.
Okay. So my final thoughts are, like Carrie just said about niching, okay? So the more you can do to grab people's attention and to show that you're an authority in that space, the more you'll survive. The more you'll make money and the more your business will escalate. So it's not about, do I choose a service, a funnel, or website? It's about, how do I build and grow over time to where I become the funnel guy, the bot guy, the musician, you know what I mean? It's about having all these different assets to where you're at some point big enough to where you're going to be very hard to compete with. Leah doesn't just do, her site at this point and a few funnels. She strategically picked when to do her funnels for what, when to have a website. And then she also does all these other things to get attention to these things. So she stays relevant and collects her audiences and meets them where they're at.
Carrie?
Yeah, no, something else that Leah says straight up in when she first does her courses, and this goes in her recruiting calls that she does. The first thing she says is, if you don't have great music, I can't help you. And I think there you said about when you're doing the analysis, one of them was, what products do you have? So it's not just so I think we really should do a call in the near future about specialism and marketing, because that then is going to be about answering that question.
I would just like to finish with saying this, that if you build a base of folks that really love you because you are satisfying that unique niche that Carrie was talking about, and you are doing things in the way you're meeting the fans, like Joe said, where they are at, I think if you have that group of people around you already, then moving them into spending money with you, they're going to want to spend more money more often. So I would say to concentrate on building that list. If you can find some way to maybe, you know, if put some money aside to get your business started or to use whatever other resources you think you may have lying around to kind of get this thing going, I would say get that ravenous audience in place. Get those people like talking, enjoying it, loving, wanting the next thing. Because then when you hold out that CD, that download, that ebook, that video, that t-shirt, those dragon boots, whatever, you're going to have people who are like, yes, take my money, because they're enjoying it. They're loving what's going on. And they're going to be much more like, I'm not saying they're guaranteed, because nothing's guaranteed, but they're going to be much more likely to want to share their money with you. And Carrie wants to contradict me. I can
see. I want to. But one last analogy.
You already got your last word in. You're cheating.
This is the last one. but just a little thought experiment now. Forget in your mind there is one place where you go to get takeout or go to get something to eat. Everybody has that one place that they would cross the country to eat at. Think about that. Now, how many things are on the menu in that place? I'll bet that whichever one you picked had one or two things on that menu that shit up. It wasn't somewhere that did everything.
Right.
Good point. All right. Great closing comments. Joe, plug your website and your business real quick.
Yeah. So it's Orange Tree Marketing. And I pretty much talked about everything I do. Anything from a bot to a funnel to a basic website, primarily concentrating on the bot or funnel. I want to open the conversation for you guys and get you recognized.
And Carrie.
KCKmusic.co.uk.
And are you still writing for Fresh on the Net?
I am indeed, yes. Freshonthenet.co.uk as well.
Yeah, that is a great website. A lot of cutting-edge music there. Good job. All right, guys, thanks for hanging out. LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com is our website. Check back often. Lots of cool stuff. Oh, exciting stuff. So we're gonna end for today, but we're going to stick around and talk for a minute about where we're going to go next week. All right, guys, thanks for hanging out. We'll touch you on the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus Musicians Mastermind.